Good morning and welcome to our roundtable panel for this Monday, the, what is it today?
16th,
16th of June. Thank you very much, Raymond. I appreciate your knowledge.
It's on my watch.
Right. And you know, Friday was Friday the 13th.
Friday the 13th.
So it was 13, 14. And I said to Lynn, you know, in December, it's going to be 12, 13, 14.
What? See, we like that kind of stuff.
I do. Way, yeah. It's stupid, isn't it?
Sequential numbers.
Sequential numbers in December. The dates. In December, it's going to be 12, 13, 14
oh,
on the 13th.
I see. I get it.
You got it? I'm glad. You're right now? Okay, fine.
It helps people play the lottery.
That's right.
That's what it does. Good morning. Welcome to our roundtable panel. Let me introduce them to you. The voice you just heard was that of our political consultant, Libby Post, who joins us each and every week. And is here for the summer, and we're delighted.
Future.
That's right. Thank you,
scary.
Libby. WAMC's Ray Graff is here, and Raymond. I hope you had a lovely Father's Day.
Indeed.
And now you're showing what sort of what a great father you are.
Yes. Well, guess what? I'll be behaving myself today. Yeah.
You have your 4-year-old daughter.
In the control
Vivian,
room.
Vivian, in the control room.
Very beautiful and very smart.
Hopefully
obviously.
Not pressing any buttons.
No.
Vivi, don't press buttons.
Can she hear you?
Yeah, oh, yeah. She can hear him. And maybe at some point she can come in and say hello
perhaps.
To us.
Yeah,
and,
I mean, if she wants to.
And speak out on one of the topics
which
that we have at large.
Casey Kasem and America's Top 40.
Yeah, there you go.
Right.
let's talk about the dead DJ with the child.
Or maybe Starbucks, and that's how they'll pay for her college. What do you think, Ray?
And then, of course, WAMC's Alan Chartok is here. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning.
Good morning, good morning. All right, so let us talk about sort of the news of the day and what's been happening over the weekend. We have a lot to talk about. We'll start with Iraq, which is, again, making headlines, and it is very troublesome as to what is happening. So as a massacre, the headline this morning is Massacre Claim Shakes Iraq, Militants Seize New City. Wielding the threat of sectarian slaughter, Sunni Islamist militants claimed on Sunday they had massacred hundreds of captive Shiite members of Iraq security forces, posting grisly pictures of a mass execution and Crete as evidence and warning of more killing to come. The possible mass killing came as militants cemented control of the city of Tal Afar, west of Mosul, after 2 days of fierce clashes with Iraqi troops, residents, and senior security officials said. The city came under mortar attack, sending many residents fleeing toward Sinjar to the west and Mosul to the east. Residents of the militants freed dozens of prisoners. And so that is what we are looking at as a situation right now. And again, we certainly talk... As we talk about this, we also are aware of the White House watching this, the world watching this, and how to react to it. So, who would like to start on this?
You have to call on somebody.
The Socratic method here,
Alan.
Anonymous in Schenectady, anonymous folk singer in Schenectady, wants to know. All the people who are calling for the U.S. to go back to Iraq, how much do they propose to pay for such an action? Many of the same people who are cutting funds for education, health care, food stamps, etc., and do not want to raise taxes on the wealthy for any reason. How would they pay for it?
Huh.
I think there's that. I think this is an intolerable situation. Intolerable. I know why the president's hair is turning white. I can tell you right now, I have no idea about what he's going to do. But I do know that if he wants, apparently the Times had a wonderful story that, you know, a very good story about how this had been years in the planning, this resurgence of the Sunnis. I just have no idea what you do. You can send in planes from the President H.W. George Bush, but what does it do? You can't win a war just with planes. And again, I have never believed that the folks over there really want us, you know. So who are we? And if you let them get slaughtered, the Republicans will stand up and say, our president dithered while these people died. There really is no good answer.
I just want to give, before you jump in, Libby, I just want to give the official President Obama statement, which is, has come out of, he's in California. He returns to Washington today. As President Obama weighs airstrikes against marauding militants in Iraq, he has concluded that any American military action must be conditioned on a political plan to try to heal Iraq's sectarian rifts, according to a senior administration official on Sunday. Well, Mr. Obama has ordered unmanned surveillance flights over Iraq to gather intelligence for possible strikes on militant positions. The official said the White House emphasis when Mr. Obama returns to Washington on Monday from a weekend in Southern California will be on prodding Iraq's leaders to form a new national unity government.
This has been going on since 632 AD, or Common Era, or whatever you want to call it. And this split between the Sunnis and the Shia, and no amount of diplomacy, I think, is going to be able to settle this dispute, because it's based in religious grounds. Who's the real leader of Islam? I mean, they had a split all the way back then, and you know, when I read the story, my heart ached, because I remember the stories of last week where these soldiers just threw off their uniforms and said, we're not fighting anymore, and these are the guys that are being rounded up and killed. And I don't think that there is a real rational way of handling this. We send in more troops, it'll just escalate. Things will get even worse. We don't send in troops, it's going to escalate. There's going to be mass murders. This is a no-win situation all the way around.
The interesting thing I see playing out here is sort of an uneasy coalition building, perhaps with Iran and the U.S. And so there are tactical reasons why teaming up loosely makes sense. There is no strategic reason. In other words, we still have so much that we disagree with Iran about. And so how does that play out over the coming weeks? It's fascinating to watch.
And every time we do one of these strategic relationships with somebody over there, like 1980 in Afghanistan, we saw how well that worked out. So,
well,
you know,
that.
it's really a crapshoot. There's no guarantees of anything.
And the Iranians, it's so fascinating. All of a sudden,
The
Iranians are our pals.
Right.
Okay, I mean, they were demonized, you know, a month ago.
One of the things that they talked about when this whole thing started hitting our news a couple of weeks ago was that there are two divisions, I guess, of the elite Iranian guard that routinely carry out actions in Iraq. Mm. And we just said that was okay. They've been roaming around there for some time. So they're putting up the big resistance at this point.
I don't know, to comprehend. Ray, I just don't know that there is big resistance right now.
Yeah.
It seems that these guys are proceeding at will.
They are just marching through the country.
Right.
The Kurds are putting up a resistance.
Well, yeah, they don't mess with the Kurds because the Kurds have a great deal to protect.
Mm-hmm.
It's spelled O-I-L.
So do the Shia have oil to protect as well. Mm. They have lots of oil interests.
Yeah.
It is, of course, one of the things that I guess I would say catapulted or really got the attention was the number of the possible attack of 1,700 people,
mm-hmm.
Of a mass execution of 1,700 people. It has not been verified. And we do not know, but some U.S. officials as well as some human rights groups have claimed and have said that it has confirmed of 1,700 people.
Yeah, I mean, what do you do?
It's that story that we talk every time something like this happens. We always ask the question: is there an obligation? If so, what is the obligation of the U.S. as still the most powerful military to do anything? And we still haven't come up with an answer because
there's no answer. There's just no answer here. It's a no-win situation. We go in, airstrikes aren't going to be enough. We have to put boots on the ground to make any kind of impact. If we do that, we're at war again. Nobody wants to go in and have war again. And as the anonymous musician in Schenectady said, who's going to pay for it? You know, once again, we're going to see kids of color who can't go to college because they don't have the money, fighting the white man's war, and it's just not the right way of doing things, and it's going to be a no-win situation.
The white man's unwinnable war.
Yeah,
Jules, who quite frequently writes to us, says, over the weekend, a retired general is part of the surge led by Petraeus. That's another guy. Stated that there are many more cons to airstrikes than pros. ISIL embeds itself with civilian populations. Strikes are most likely to be seen as the U.S. taking sides with Shia against the Sunnis in what is rapidly becoming civil war.
With that, let us take a break. We'll come back. We'll continue discussing this topic. I want to read a quote from a critic of America's withdrawal from Iraq and talk a little bit about the Secretary of State, what should be done, and do a little crystal ball gazing as well. We'll be back after this short break.
Support comes from Chester Theatre Company, presenting Madagascar, a haunting mystery set in Rome, June 25th through July 6th, chestertheatre.org. Mark Lawson Antiques, Saratoga Springs and Colony, New York, purchasing estate jewelry, coins, silver, period antiques, fine arts, and collections, marklawson.com. And Terrapin Restaurant Bistro Bar, Rhinebeck, New York, serving local organic foods sourced from Hudson Valley Farms, terrapinrestaurant.com.
Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. And do you have another letter, Alan?
Yeah, our very good friend John Faso says, you're forgetting two facts. Maliki has not governed in cooperative fashion and has become autocratic. This has allowed over the past few years for increased hostility from the Sunnis. Second, Obama's failure to get status of forces agreement meant Iranian passage through Iraq, airspace funneling arms to Assad. This crisis has its seeds in these facts. Over the last 3 years, most Americans just weren't paying attention. That from our friend John.
I want to talk a little bit about about what is going on. Ryan Crocker, a former ambassador to Iraq and critic of America's 2011 withdrawal from Iraq after the two countries failed to sign a mutual security pact, said the atrocity claims, proven or not, made it more urgent than ever for Washington to become involved. And I just want I'm going to read this quote and then I'd like your thoughts on it. What this administration has to do is get John Kerry on a plane right now, like we did when I was there, and sit down with Shia, Sunni, and Kurdish leaders and help them get to a position of declared national unity. Iraqis have to stand together now, Mr. Crocker said. Regarding the massacres, he said, whatever it is, however many people, it's clearly an effort to ignite an Iraqi civil war. I ask, let's start with you, Libby, because you were saying that we're damned if we do and we're damned if we don't.
I think it's a lovely sentiment. I don't think these people want to sit down together. You know, I think what John said about Maliki being an autocrat, not making it into a coalition government. And this is after years of Saddam Hussein totally.
And years of our trying to make him do it.
Right. Yeah. And years of Saddam Hussein before that, you know, killing these people, you know, outright massacring these people, the Sunnis and the Kurds. They don't want to sit down. They want their time in the sun.
But Libby, here's a question for you. Why do you release to the world pictures of your massacring 1,700 people?
To show you can.
You think it's because you want to engender fear? Mm-hmm. On the other side, or is there something, I mean, it just keeps occurring to me that it's almost as if they want the Americans back in there. And it's so crazy to
I don't think
that.
That's the case. I don't.
1,700 people.
I know, it's a lot of people.
And they know what will ignite public opinion in this country. So
I don't know if it will ignite public opinion
in
this country.
So.
I really
it'll ignite.
Don't.
Let's put it this way: it'll ignite some public
right,
opinion.
Right, the thinking
in this
people. Though yeah. Some of the people will be just like, "Well, let them kill each other. Why should we care?"
Mm-hmm.
You know. But I don't think they're doing it as a PR stunt to get the Americans back in. I think they're doing it as, we can do this. We are now going to take power in this country,
mm-hmm. and we're going to rule by fear.
Right, right. Because that's the only way they know how to rule. Mm-hmm. That's all they've really known. Maliki hasn't been, you know, Mr. Nice Guy. He's ruled by fear. Saddam Hussein ruled by fear. A lot of the governments in those, in that region, rule by fear.
Okay, so following up on that very good, and that very good insight.
Oh, thank you.
If in fact the Saddam Husseins, who was a monster, and so many like him, have ruled by fear, and it's the only way to keep things quiet, what do we conclude?
Well, it's not going to be pretty. And I was thinking about this. What's going to happen? They're going to, this is going to turn into a major civil war, most likely. They'll be killing each other. Syria is going to get drawn in, and they're already in some kind of civil strife. You know, what's going to happen in this region? And then you have Israel. In the middle of all of this, and three kids just got kidnapped by some Palestinian armed something or other. Not sure who did it. What's the responsibility? But it's a tinderbox, and it has always been a tinderbox. It continues to be a tinderbox. Our diplomacy will play well in trying to make sure that at least the Israeli-Palestinian conflict is kept sort of not quiet, but not drawn into all of this. And then try somehow to help mediate, but I don't see that happening in the next 2 weeks.
Do you think in that time frame? I mean, do you think we'll see some sort of action by the United States by the end of the week?
You're going to see something.
You'll see something. They're moving ships already. So they're doing something.
What that something is another whole story. We've heard from Gary in Woodstock, as we have before. Good morning. Excellent show, as always. Yesterday on NPR, I don't remember which show, a Kurdish general was quoted as saying, "What the Americans don't understand, we've been fighting for 400 years. No big deal for us to wait 8 years until the American people get tired of their children dying and massive amounts of money being spent. They leave sooner or later, and we move right back in."
Yeah,
Gary.
Right. It's oil, you know.
Yeah.
That's the bottom line here is oil. So what is this going to do here? This is going to
raise the prices.
Well, not only
it's
going to stoke the fuel of the natural gas advocates and fracking.
Well,
they're going to say, and somebody let's do it.
And somebody spits on the sidewalk, and these guys will raise the prices and say, oh, we got to raise the prices.
Right.
Somebody spit on the sidewalk.
There is there's an interesting piece in the New York Times about a series of they've asked people to do debates, and they have these debaters who are basically writing essays and looking at all sides of this. But just looking at the titles of these, U.S. military can't fix this, a regional diplomatic response, an inclusive leader for all Iraqis, unity with Kurdistan will stave off the threat, honor the sacrifice of our troops. The U.S. must listen to Iraqi Kurds. If we're threatened, Iran will send troops. So obviously there are so many different sides to this. There's so many different facets to this. There's so much to consider. The president is returning to Washington today, but ultimately it does come down to a very political decision, doesn't it? I mean, it's what is going to I'd love to think of it's what's best for our interests and for our troops, but sometimes it seems as though with bickering going back and forth that it becomes more of a political decision as to whether we take part in it.
I think it's a brilliant analysis, Joe. I mean, there is always doing what's right, and then there's doing what's political, and you know we have a context of a political system here. The White House oil is burning late. They're sitting around and they're saying, okay, if we do this, what do they do? And we know that we're going to come in for tremendous pummeling from the Republicans, no matter what,
right?
Because in fact, there is no good answer. And they are not going to be saying, okay, when it comes to American foreign policy, we have to act as one. Those days are gone forever. Any excuse
it's amazing.
For doing it, they're going to do. So you're right, Joe. It can either be the president saying, you know, I took all this time to get us out of there. I'm not going back on it. I don't have to run for re-election. I'm not going to get, nobody's going to call me names as a result of this. And in the long run, people are going to say he did the right thing when they come to their senses. Or he can say, we better drop a few bombs.
We welcome your comments, roundtable@wamc.org, roundtable@wamc.org. We will continue our conversation with the panel and talk about many other issues. Again, we welcome your comments, roundtable@wamc.org. We'll be back after this break. Good morning and welcome back to our roundtable panel for the 16th of June. Alan Chartok, Ray Graff, and Libby Post, our guests this morning. We welcome your comments, roundtable@wamc.org, roundtable@wamc.org. And let us get into other items making news this morning, and we'll talk about Edward Snowden, because we, you know, it's been like 2 weeks since we've talked about him. So
yeah.
there's new things
withdrawal
to talk about.
Are
that's right.
Yeah.
While Edward Snowden was trapped in the transit zone of Moscow's airport last year, U.S. officials were confronting their own dearth of options in the White House Situation Room. For weeks, senior officials from the FBI, the CIA, the State Department, and other agencies assembled nearly every day in a desperate search for a way to apprehend the former intelligence contractor who had exposed the inner workings of American espionage, then fled to Hong Kong before ending up in Moscow. Convened by White House Homeland Security Lisa Monaco, the meetings kept ending at the same impasse. Have everyone make yet another round of appeals to their Russian counterparts and hope that Snowden makes a misstep. The problem, as this article points out, is that he didn't.
What sort of a misstep are we talking about?
Yeah.
Over the wrong border.
He ticks off the Russians somehow. Something bad to the Russians.
They had hoped that he would slip up, and
in what way? Though?
He didn't.
Take a wrong turn and end up in a...
Yeah, that's basically it. It's a geographic misstep. Lane.
Monaco said the best play for us is him landing in a third country, according to an official who met with her at the White House. The official, who, like other current and former officials interviewed for the Washington Post article that was published yesterday, discussed internal deliberations on the condition of anonymity. Quote, we were hoping he was going to be stupid enough to get on some kind of airplane and then have an ally say, you're in our airspace, land. U.S. officials thought they saw such an opening on July 2nd when Bolivian President Evo Morales, who expressed support for Snowden, left Moscow aboard his presidential aircraft. The decision to divert the plane ended in embarrassment when it searched in Vienna and Snowden was not aboard.
Whoops.
I'll tell you who I think is making the big mistake here. I think the White House is making a big mistake, and here's why. People know now what they never knew. We live in a democracy. I've said it before. I'll say it again. We live in a democracy where people are supposed to have information in order to make intelligent decisions. Snowden gives us intelligent decisions, fodder for intelligent decisions. He tells us things we didn't know. He tells us what the government is doing. He tells us about Big Brother. If I'm the White House, I say, okay, let it go. But what they're thinking is, if Snowden gets away with it, there'll always be another Snowden, and unless we put a stop to it, it's no good. So that's, to me, the White House is making a terrible decision.
They should stop talking about it.
Yeah.
And just start doing something about it.
Well, what do you want them to do?
Well, you know, I watch Covert Affairs. You know, yeah. I know here it says he needs to be in a certain category in order for them to actually do a real operation to get him back from Russia.
This is not Osama bin Laden, you know.
Yeah, I know. He's one of ours. But, you know, this is old news. That's what's so bizarre about the story. Rehashing something that happened last July.
Well, I think they're looking at it in a sense of almost a year has passed. And
we can't get him because the Russians are protecting him. And that's just the way it is. And it makes no sense for Putin to hand him over on a silver platter because it's one other thing he can hold over Obama's head, which is what he likes to do.
Yeah, I mean, you have to look at what Putin's motivations are here. One thing he's basically saying is, look, I'm an independent actor. Yeah. And you don't tell me what to do.
Right.
And also, Snowden is a big embarrassment to the United States because he told us things that, you know, this country never wanted anybody to know.
Right.
And by the way, Snowden has made the point again and again in these interviews he's been giving that nobody has been hurt as a result of this. Now,
we don't know.
But there aren't any glaring examples that have been brought before us that show us any of that. So I just don't get it. I don't get it.
Well, what this will certainly do is sharpen U.S. spycraft and make it make us change the way we do things. Not
sure.
That we're going to change. Not with the, we're not going to stop spying. We're just going to make it. We're going to change the way we do it, so we're not so detectable.
Yeah. As I have often told my students, anytime there is a new rule or a new law, it's because somebody's fouled up.
Right.
And because somebody fouled up. So we all stand up on the plane. We have to make sure that when we open the thing, that things don't come out of us.
That's right.
Clearly
we
somebody,
take our shoes off.
Because somebody, yeah, one guy right. Shoe bomb, that's it forever.
Right. It's a good thing we don't have to show them our underwear, because that was the other thing. There was the underwear
bomber.
Oh, yeah, the other way.
Yeah,
well, they do in a way. I mean, you have the
scanner,
X-ray scanner.
If they want to get their jollies off of that, they can go right ahead.
Well, we've changed topics here.
And Rosemary's not even here.
I know. It's amazing. But what I found really interesting about this story is, I guess, FSB, which is their equivalent to the FBI,
yes,
or whatever it is. You know, American journalists can get interviews with Snowden, but the Russian journalists can't. And that's all through FSB, yet FSB is saying we're not having anything to do with him. So
FSB is what was once known as KGB?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the new acronym. Same guys, just
they
new
change
letters.
It. It's all about the marketing, really.
Well, including the Prime Minister.
Stay
yeah.
The same, right.
So where are we now? His expiring asylum status in Russia is expected to be extended this summer. Negotiations between his attorneys and the Justice Department about a possible deal to secure his return have been dormant for months, and it doesn't seem like that will happen.
No.
Right?
No. He's not coming back.
There we go on that story.
By the way, he's got plenty of punishment to put up with. He's got to eat that Russian food.
Yeah, this is true.
You know,
and we'll
put up with the oligarchs.
You know,
and we'll end with that. So, before we go to a break, you have a letter or two, I believe, Alan.
Oh yes, do I?
Yes, you do.
Well, no.
All right. if you want to find them, we can come back and do them.
No, I see Bowie Mac, right, Gary? That's the last one I read.
The one I saw.
Let's
take a here we go. Michael says about Snowden, I can understand a citizen's concern about domestic spying, but what good does it do to reveal secret documents about international spying, which the whole world does? Is that included in our right to know? What did he reveal? Why did he reveal those secrets? That's Michael. And then George of Glenside, Pennsylvania, which is interesting.
Ooh, wow. My old
hometown.
Oh, really?
Folks, it doesn't matter what any of us say. We all know that the U.S. government can't stand on the sidelines while a major civil war breaks out in the heart of the Middle East. You can be assured that we will be doing something to try to prevent this. And finally, Walker says, some of us have always been skeptical of the U.S. military's ability to train the Iraqis and Afghans to become a disciplined military. I have great admiration for the people in the Middle East. Fundamentally, they are good people trying to raise families, praise their God, and keep alive their cultural traditions. But down deep, there are cultures in the world who are by nature or culture or isolation or environment or lack of formal education. We act like missionaries trying to convert, and a mess has been created.
And Stephen said, wow, Libby just can't help herself, can she? Young men of color once again fighting the white man's war, unquote. Everything, and then capital everything, capital everything. It's about race for some people, I suppose.
Well, not everything, but a lot of it is.
I can't see what you said that was wrong.
Thank you.
And then do you see the other letter?
It's true. Just look at the demographics.
Another letter from
Narcissa.
From who?
Narcissa.
Narcissa. No, for some reason I get some, but I don't get them all. Yeah, go ahead.
All right. Says Alan.
I got it.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. Narcissa says, dear Roundtable, Alan and others keep making the argument that a democracy people need information. Okay, does that mean we can have no secrecy? If yes, we can win no war. If no, who gets to decide? Why does an individual who is unelected, unappointed by an elected body, and unwilling to subject himself to any form of accountability get to decide? Why should I trust Mr. Snowden more than the NSA? Because Mr. Snowden thinks he's a good guy? The NSA makes the very same argument. They, at least, can be fired or thrown out if we disapprove.
Oh, great letter.
And when's the last time we we threw anybody out that you know about, Ray, since you thought it was such
a
great
letter. I thought it was a perfectly reasoned argument.
Yeah, so therefore, this is the argument that secrecy prevails, that if we don't know that we're being spied upon, we should never know we're being spied upon, because after all, it's the government.
So there should
they
be
know
no
it,
secrets. I've asked you the same question many times
when
we've discussed
this. No. We don't have to have a big fight about this, especially with your daughter looking on.
I think she's nodding off.
But no.
Our sample audience.
Ray, that you think that the secrecy should always prevail.
I didn't say that. Don't put words in my mouth.
Well, go ahead.
But the question that the listener wrote, and yes, the question I've asked you at least 10 occasions, then there should be no secrets?
No, I didn't say that.
Because people need information for democracy, there should be no secrets?
I love what you said before. Don't put words in my mouth. I never said there should be no secrets. But I think in this case, this cried out for our knowing about it. So, yes, we have to make judgments on a case-by-case basis. That's correct.
What cried out for us knowing about it? What he exposed?
Yes.
Oh.
No?
No.
You don't think we needed to know about this?
No. I'm a believe it or not.
Wow, holy mackerel. Because my daughter's here.
Something's going wrong here.
I think he's a traitor. I think he should be tried for treason. I think he gave out state secrets. I think he put our people at risk. I don't think that I understand the motivation, but what good has come of it?
And you of all people.
I know.
You of all people, a classic liberal, who understand what happens when the government decides some people are dangerous. So some people are dangerous, shouldn't know that the government is spying on you. Shame on you.
Wow. You know what? Don't pigeonhole her. Don't fence her in. She has her own thoughts on all the topics.
I think the government is spying on all of us. I don't think it's right or wrong, but my concern is more about not what they did here, but more about how he put our folks at risk outside of this country in the espionage business, in the spy business, whatever. It's like nobody really got all that upset when Scooter Libby said, exposed Valerie Plame, as political retribution. This is the same sort of stuff that's going on now.
1984 is just a little late in arriving, yeah. and you really have to see it. I think it's a very dangerous situation, mm-hmm. and I think Snowden did a massive service to the American people.
Okay.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll...
They're just going to find another way of doing it. That's the other part of this. They're just going to find another way of surveillance. So
just give up.
No, not give up, but...
What kind of country do we live in that you give up?
I don't give up.
You say they're just going to find another way.
But they are going to find another way.
So then you have to have another Snowden.
Well, as long as we're not...
A man of courage.
I'm sorry, Joe. In the kind of world we're living in right now, with what's going on in the Middle East and the tinderboxes all over the world, I want to feel safe.
Oh, good, because that's the way fascists... And I'm not saying you're a fascist.
Oh, thank you.
No.
I appreciate that.
But that's the way fascists always justify government, which is, I want to feel safe.
Well,
And as I was saying... We'll be back after this short break.
Support comes from Capital Power, Albany, New York, dealer and installer of Kohler standby generator systems. CapitalStandbyPower.com. High Meadow School, Stone Ridge, New York, now enrolling children ages 3 to 15 for Summer on the Meadow, week-long camps from June 23rd through August 1st. HighMeadowSchool.org. Hampshire Veterinary Hospital, corner of University Drive and Route 9 in Amherst, Massachusetts. Doctors Katz and Purdy providing daily and on-call urgent veterinary care 24 hours every day. HampVet.com. And the Catskill Mountain Foundation presenting Second City at the Foundation's Benefit Gala on Saturday, July 12th. Orpheum Film and Performing Arts Center, Tannersville. CatskillMTN.org.
This is WAMC's Berkshire Bureau Chief Jim Lavoulis. Today on Midday Magazine, the Massachusetts Democratic Party endorses State Treasurer Steve Grossman for governor at its state convention in Worcester.
Ready to go on and to send Charlie Baker back to Swampscott on the 4th of November, and all of you will be part of that team. Thank you so very much. I'm honored to be such a part of this wonderful party, the Democratic Party. Thank you all so much. Thank you. Woo!
Massachusetts Attorney General Martha Coakley and former Federal Health Care Administrator Don Berwick also find themselves on September's primary ballot. Tune in to Midday Magazine from noon to 1 for the full story on WAMC.
Good morning and welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel. I have to say it's very nice to look over to the glass and not only see Jessica there, but also to see a lovely child.
Vivian. She's loving the show. Yeah. I think she agrees with Libby on this one, to be honest with you.
Hopefully she'll grow up not to agree with me, so that's okay.
It was nice of her to indicate that Alan is number one.
Yeah.
Which I thought was great.
That's great. I wonder, little mirroring in there. Let us go to the mailbag as we wrap up for this morning.
Real quickly, Jules, our problem is that no one has been watching the watchbird. Oversight. And Bill says, thanks, Alan, for trying to bring the discussion to what's appropriate for American democracy. I'm shocked to hear Libby
say that
doing something about the situation means capturing Snowden. How about doing something about the blatant unconstitutional spying on American citizens and a complete lack of oversight by Congress? And lots of question marks and explanation points. Do you have any idea how much security structure of the U.S. costs and how ineffective it is? Libby seems to have a child's trust of daddy government. And I'm definitely not one of those Reagan people who think government is the problem.
You know, this isn't
time
I've said that here. So.
Thanks, Bill.
But thank you, Bill. I appreciate all points of view.
Anyway.
That 1,000 flowers bloom.
There you
That's
go.
Right.
All right.
It takes all kinds.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good for you quoting Mao. Well done.
But of course, Mao didn't really believe it.
No. Do you?
As we wrap up this morning, Casey Kasem, a disc jockey who never claimed to love rock and roll, but who built a long and lucrative career from it, creating and hosting one of radio's most popular syndicated pop music shows, American Top 40. It was the reason that Ray and I could have Sunday off.
That's right.
When we were in commercial radio, because Casey Kasem existed and they would play it.
Came on vinyl.
For 6 hours. Came on vinyl.
Yep.
And America's Top 40.
Did. You got records and there were drop-ins. The network commercials were on, and then there would be a spot where you played the local spots, and then you queued up the record while the local spots were on. And he's back with Casey Kasem in the next segment.
I thought it was live.
Oh, no.
Oh, boy.
Oh, no. It was
naive about the NSA and Casey Kasem.
Oh, well. All my bubbles have been burst this morning.
Casey would come in and record for like an hour of the tracks, and then they would drop the songs in, and off they'd go.
Much like the roundtable, Joe comes in for a few minutes, Sarah does the rest.
Anyway, Michael said, go, Libby girl. Oh. And Ted says,
go where?
Ted says, when people truly feel they are correct, they need not always require the last word. And Noah said, and that's a beautiful name, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm shocked that anyone can call Snowden a traitor. What happened when the FBI conducted warrantless surveillance against the members of the civil rights movement? People were murdered in their beds. The government has set a precedent and taken actions to suggest that the greatest enemy of the state is its citizenry. By the numbers, this is not an issue of safety. Statistically, we almost never die from terrorists. If the government wants to ensure our safety, they keep us out of cars. They want to keep power. So that's all. So disappointed.
I guess we're not talking about Casey Kasem.
Well, I just wanted to talk about Casey Kasem.
Long distance dedication coming up.
Right, no, that's all right. That's it.
I grew up with Casey Kasem. I loved Casey Kasem. I loved the Top 40. And maybe that's why I, have these sort of views that some people can't believe I have.
Yeah, but mind control.
It. Yeah, I love the Top 40, and it was a fun show to listen to.
And you can hear it again, by the way.
He was
you know what's
corny.
On again?
It is.
They play the old ones.
Oh, they do.
Yeah,
I know Ryan Seacrest does it, but it was corny and it was fun.
But they play Casey's like from the 70s.
Oh, yeah, it's great. So this week in 1978,
and it was my childhood. You know, I mean, your childhood too.
Absolutely,
it was all the opium of the proletariat.
Oh, come on, yes.
Yeah, it was. It was
in a perfect world. Casey would have played Weavers only. All the American Top 40 Weavers countdown.
Actually, I think in Casey's perfect world, that's exactly what he would have done.
No, I think it would have been silence actually, based on what he said.
Libby, Ray, Alan, thank you very much. We appreciate it. We'll be back tomorrow.
Welcome
thank you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.